Okay, so I want you to imagine something for a second. You hit enter on your keyboard,
Okay,
right?
I'm with you.
And like, boom. In 3 seconds, 1,000 lines of completely flawless, highly complex code just materializes on your screen.
It feels like absolute magic.
Exactly. It's magic. The
Yeah.
application runs, the buttons do what they're supposed to do, the layout is gorgeous. But, and here's the, imagine the panic that sets in like a week later.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Right? You realize those 3 seconds of magic just leaked your company's master database passwords to the entire internet, and all because, you didn't actually read what the machine wrote.
Yeah, I mean, that right there is the ultimate double-edged sword of this modern development era we're in.
It really is.
We've essentially built these engines that can travel at just incredible speeds, but we are frequently forgetting to install the steering wheel. And speed without architectural oversight is really just a faster way to cause a massive catastrophe.
Which is a perfect segue. Welcome to a brand new deep dive, everyone. Today, we are tackling a concept that is, fundamentally shifting how the entire digital world gets built.
It's completely changed the landscape.
Exactly. And to guide us through the actual mechanics of this shift, we're unpacking this really fascinating curriculum document. It's from Vibe Coding Masters, which is a subsidiary of Brawley Academy, based out of Hyderabad, India.
Right. And they have a very specific take on this.
They do. So our mission today is to just tear apart this concept they call front-end vibe coding. We need to figure out what that term actually means in practice, right? How it integrates AI into the daily workflow of building software, and I guess why understanding this mechanism is just a critical skill for anyone touching technology right now.
Well, to really grasp it, it requires a complete mental shift. Because for decades, coding has mostly been about syntax.
Like memorizing the exact grammatical rules of a programming language.
Exactly. Memorizing where the semicolons go, essentially. But this new methodology assumes the machine already knows the syntax. The challenge isn't how to write the code anymore.
Right.
It's how to direct the machine to write the right code.
To wrap my head around this, I actually started thinking about the reality of managing junior talent.
Oh, that's a great comparison.
Right. Because having an AI coding assistant is a lot like having a hyper fast, incredibly eager junior developer sitting right next to you at the desk. This kid can type blindingly fast.
But they lack all the historical context.
Exactly. They have no big picture business logic. Like, if you tell them to build a bridge, they will build a structurally sound, incredibly beautiful bridge that leads directly into a solid brick wall.
Because you didn't explicitly tell them why the bridge was being built in the first place or where it needed to go.
Yes, you have to give them the context.
And that analogy perfectly highlights the core philosophy of this curriculum from Hyderabad. I mean, there is this pervasive, almost existential dread in the tech industry right now.
Oh, for sure. Everyone's terrified.
Right, this fear that AI tools are here to eradicate human developers entirely. But the framework presented here flips that narrative completely on its head.
The AI isn't replacing the human intellect.
No, not at all. It's removing the repetitive drudgery. It handles the mindless typing so that the human can focus entirely on the architecture.
Which means if you are listening to this right now, whether you're a seasoned software engineer trying to adapt, or maybe a manager trying to decipher what your tech team is actually doing all day.
Or even just someone insanely curious about how the apps on your phone are constructed.
Exactly. You need to understand this dynamic. We are stripping away all the sci-fi hype today and looking at the actual mechanical workflow. So let's just define the term straight up. What is happening mechanically when someone is doing quote unquote front-end vibe coding compared to, traditional web development?
Okay, so traditionally, a front-end developer had to handwrite every single structural element. If you wanted a simple box on the screen, you had to manually type out the div.
And for those who don't know, a div is basically just the invisible HTML container that holds your content.
Right. Then after making the container, you had to write these CSS classes. And those are the specific styling rules that tell the web browser what color that box is, how thick the borders are, how much drop shadow it has.
And you do this, what, thousands of times?
Thousands of times for every single element. But vibe coding is an AI-assisted approach where you essentially act as the director.
You're calling the shots.
Exactly. You use these intelligent tools to generate those UI components, so the buttons, the forms, the navigation bars, while you focus your energy on assembling them into a cohesive layout.
I mean, the benefits they list in the source material are pretty hard to ignore. We are talking about massive reductions in repetitive coding, better reusability of your digital building blocks, and incredibly rapid prototyping.
Prototyping is a huge one.
Right. You can spin up a functional idea and test it with real users in a fraction of the time it used to take. But, and I have to play devil's advocate here because I know people are thinking it, there's a glaring financial incentive here.
Oh, definitely.
If the AI is doing the heavy lifting of writing the HTML and CSS, corporate executives are absolutely going to look at this and say, great, we can fire half the front-end team to save money. Anyone can just vibe their way into building our app.
Yeah, and companies will certainly try that. And they will very quickly hit a massive wall of technical debt.
Really?
Absolutely. The curriculum actually addresses this misconception directly. It clearly states that a foundational knowledge of HTML, CSS, and JavaScript is absolutely non-negotiable.
So you can't just skip the basics.
No, you can't. AI lowers the barrier to entry, sure. It makes it easier to start. But it is an accelerator. It is not a substitute for actual expertise. Think about it mechanically. If you don't know how a CSS grid is supposed to distribute space across a mobile screen, you'll have no idea what to do when the AI generates a layout that looks totally fine on your laptop, but then completely overlaps and breaks on a smartphone.
I see. You can't edit a book if you don't speak the language it's written in.
Precisely. If the AI hallucinates a structural flaw, the person who doesn't know how to code won't even see the flaw until a user complains about it.
Which brings us to the actual tools, like the tech stack they outline for this workflow, because that's where it gets really interesting.
It does.
They list the classic foundations, Dash HTML5, CSS3, JavaScript, TypeScript, but then they highlight specific modern tools that seem, I don't know, deeply tailored for AI integration. Tailwind CSS is a major one they bring up.
Yes.
So why does an AI assistant perform so much better with Tailwind compared to, like, traditional styling methods?
It all comes down to context windows and cognitive load for the AI.
Okay, unpack that for me.
So in traditional web design, your HTML structure is in one file, and your CSS styling rules are hidden away in a completely separate file.
Right, they're disconnected.
Right. So to build a simple button, the AI has to cross-reference between these two different locations, constantly making sure the class names match up perfectly. It's a lot to juggle.
And Tailwind fixes that.
Exactly. Tailwind uses what are called utility classes, which means you apply the styling directly inside the HTML structure itself.
Oh, wow. So it's all in one spot.
You type the color, the padding, the rounded corners right next to the text of the button. AI thrives on this setup. It doesn't have to juggle multiple files. It sees the entire context of the component in one single isolated block of text.
That makes total sense. It localizes the problem for the AI so it doesn't get confused. And that same logic seems to apply to the frameworks they emphasize too, right? React and Next.js.
Yes. The material heavily pushes those specific environments for vibe coding.
Because React is fundamentally built around that concept of modularity.
Exactly. And AI struggles immensely. If you ask it to write a monolithic, unstructured web page that is, say, 10,000 lines long,
it'll just lose the plot halfway through.
Completely lose the plot. But React forces you to break your application down into tiny self-contained Lego blocks, what we call UI components.
Right. So you have a component just for the search bar.
Just for the search bar. And another component just for the user profile picture. When you ask an AI to generate or optimize a single isolated search bar component, it can do so with breathtaking accuracy because the scope is highly restricted.
Okay, so the secret isn't necessarily having the smartest AI in the world. It's about giving the AI a modular environment where it practically can't get confused.
That is the key.
But having that toolkit is one thing. Knowing how to actually architect a piece of software is another ballgame entirely. And what I loved about this curriculum from Hyderabad is that it doesn't just list tools.
No, it provides a comprehensive blueprint.
Yeah, it walks through a real-world project. They use an AI-powered task management dashboard as the ultimate showcase for this.
And you have to notice the complexity of that application they chose. It is not some simple static brochure website.
Not at all. It requires user authentication. It needs a responsive design that adapts fluidly across devices. Dark and light mode toggles, real-time notifications, a drag-and-drop interface.
And deep integration with back-end databases. It is a living, breathing piece of software.
And to build something that complex, the material lays out a meticulous 7-step methodology. And I have to say, looking at how these steps are organized is what actually sold me on the concept of vibe coding as a serious professional discipline.
Because it proves you don't just open a chat window and say, build me a dashboard.
Exactly. It's broken down into distinct phases. So the first phase is entirely about the blueprint. It involves defining the business goals, understanding the target users, and drawing up wireframes for the layouts.
And notice what's missing there. Not a single line of code is generated in that first phase.
Zero.
It relies entirely on human critical thinking. You are determining what value the software actually provides to the world.
Right. And then you move into what we could call the foundation phase, steps 2, 3, and 4. This is where you establish your modular building blocks. Designing the standard buttons and forms so the application looks consistent.
Yes.
And crucially, step 4 is where you map out your REST APIs. For anyone listening who isn't building software every day, REST APIs are basically the digital messengers.
That's a good way to put it.
They carry a request from your front-end dashboard like, hey, show me the user's tasks. They travel to the back-end database and bring the data back, and you have to design that plumbing manually.
You do. And that leads to the single most revealing fact of this entire methodology. Did you notice when the AI actually shows up?
Step 5.
Yes. The AI does not even enter the picture until after the blueprint and the foundation are completely finished. Only in this third phase, what we'd call the delegation phase, do you finally unleash the AI tools.
That blew my mind.
You use them to generate the boilerplate code. Boilerplate is all that standard, repetitive, structural code that every application needs, but requires absolutely zero creativity to write. You leverage the AI to rapidly flesh out the UI components that you have already meticulously planned.
That sequence just flipped my entire understanding of the topic. The framework is called vibe coding, but the vibe part only works because you've spent days doing the rigorous architectural math up front.
It's like a massive movie production.
Oh, I love that.
Think about it. You are the director. You have to secure the financing, finalize the script, cast the actors, and build the physical sets in phases 1 and 2. The AI is the CGI department.
Ah, right. They come in during phase 3.
Exactly. They come in to add spectacular visual effects and flesh out the background. But if you haven't given them the script or the green screens to work with, they will just generate impressive-looking visual garbage that doesn't actually advance the plot.
That is a perfect structural analogy, and it naturally leads into the final phase of the process, the audit phase, steps 6 and 7, testing usability, ensuring accessibility for users with disabilities, optimizing performance, and then finally deploying the application.
Right. The AI wrote the CGI, but the director still has to sit in the editing room and make sure the movie actually makes sense to a human audience.
Okay, but what happens when the director leaves the editing room? Because that's the scary part. What happens when developers get lazy and try to let the CGI department write the script, shoot the movie, and edit the final cut?
Well, the curriculum has an entire section dedicated to exactly that, mistakes to avoid. And honestly, it reads like a horror story of modern web development.
It really does. The symptoms of removing the human from the loop are immediate and catastrophic.
The material warns strongly against blindly accepting AI code without review. It points out how AI will frequently break responsive design.
Right, creating interfaces that are literally unusable on specific screen sizes.
Exactly. It also highlights a severe lack of accessibility. Because an AI doesn't instinctively understand how a visually impaired user relies on a screen reader, right? It just builds what looks visually appealing on the surface.
But the mistake that genuinely made me stop reading and just laugh out loud was their warning against hard-coding sensitive information.
Oh, yes. That's a big one.
For context for the listeners, hard-coding is when you type a password or a secret API key directly into the public source code rather than referencing a secure hidden configuration file.
Which you should never do.
Never. But here we are. We have this space-age, hyper-advanced AI workflow, and yet, because developers are vibing a little too hard and skipping the audit phase, they are letting the AI paste their master database passwords directly into the public-facing code.
It perfectly illustrates the mechanical limitations of large language models.
Yeah.
The AI does not possess a concept of a secret or business risk.
Right. It doesn't care.
It's simply an engine trying to make the code function immediately. If pasting the raw API key makes the dashboard connect to the database faster, the AI will just do it. It optimizes for immediate functionality, completely oblivious to security architecture.
And returning to my earlier pushback about companies trying to fire developers to save money, this right here is exactly why they can't.
No, they absolutely cannot.
The AI doesn't care if your company gets sued into oblivion because of a massive data breach. The human developer is the risk manager. They hold the liability.
Which is why the material answers the most common FAQ, can AI replace front-end developers, with a definitive flat no.
A hard no.
The human developer remains entirely responsible for the architecture, the user experience, the business logic, and the quality assurance. You're no longer being paid to type syntax. You are being paid to manage risk and enforce structure.
So, okay, if you are listening to this right now and you want to master this workflow, how do you actually practice being the director instead of the typist? The source material is very clear about this. You cannot learn this by building simple little toy apps.
No, you need to build professional-grade projects, e-commerce interfaces, full SaaS applications, complex analytics dashboards.
Because simple projects don't require those blueprint or foundation phases we talked about.
Exactly. You can let an AI generate a single web page with basically no consequences. But you cannot build a functioning e-commerce checkout system without deeply understanding data flow, state management, and API integration.
Right.
Forcing yourself to build complex applications is the only way to expose the limitations of the AI, which in turn forces you to actually develop your architectural skills.
You are acquiring hard skills in UI development, debugging, component architecture, and AI-assisted workflows.
Yeah.
It all synthesizes into this massive career advantage. You transition from being a low-level code typist to being a high-level system architect.
And the value of this curriculum is recognizing that transition. Front-end vibe coding is not some shortcut to skip learning.
Right.
It is an evolution of how we apply what we have learned. It combines component-based frameworks like React with AI tools to build better software much faster. But that speed demands extreme discipline.
You know, in a world of total information overload, where a new supposedly revolutionary AI tool launches basically every single day, the key takeaway here is incredibly empowering.
It really is.
Your critical thinking, your ability to understand human user needs, your architectural planning, and your grasp of complex business logic, those human traits are more valuable right now than they have ever been in the history of software engineering.
The machine just handles the typing.
The human must be the director. The AI is simply the crew.
Beautifully said.
But before we wrap up, I do want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. And this builds on that terrifying reality of AI accidentally pasting passwords into public code.
Okay, lay it on me.
If we are currently entering an era where AI tools are generating massive, unprecedented amounts of boilerplate code at lightning speed, and humans are naturally getting overwhelmed and maybe a little lazier about thoroughly reviewing every single line,
right?
Are we rapidly approaching a future where we will be forced to build a second, entirely different layer of AI whose only job is to sift through the code and find the invisible bugs created by the first AI?
Wow. A fully automated auditing system for the AI.
Exactly.
I mean, it feels inevitable, but then it introduces an entirely new layer of risk, doesn't it? Like, what happens when the auditing AI starts hallucinating?
Suddenly, that hyper-fast junior developer sitting next to you doesn't just need your supervision. They need an entire automated HR department just to keep them from burning down the building.
That is a terrifying but very realistic thought.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the architecture of tomorrow. Keep questioning the code, and we will catch you next time.